Hello and welcome to Pandora's Box. This is Kalia. Today, the topic of our conversation is the victim archetype. Most clients who come to me are victims of abuse. With abuse, there is a victim and a victimizer or perpetrator. Sometimes these roles can be interchangeable, and the one who is the victim can become the victimizer. In fact, victimizers were most likely victims as children. As children, if we experienced abuse or neglect, we will likely grow up to be either a victimizer or a victim. Both are ways we learn to cope and function in the world. Perpetrators feel powerful by victimizing others, and victims feel powerless, just as they did as children. Feeling powerless is a way of being that becomes familiar in childhood and continues to feel familiar as we become adults and continue to find ourselves in situations where we feel victimized and powerless. There is often an unconscious program running where we don't believe we can be powerful in our lives. We don't believe we can say no, speak out, express our feelings and opinions, and take care of ourselves without feeling that we're selfish. When people come to me as a result of narcissistic abuse, they feel abused and powerless as a result. The focus is most often on the narcissist, the perpetrator, and everything that person did that was wrong and hurtful. Our focus on the perpetrator enables us to continue being victims and prevents us from taking full responsibility for where we are now and how we got here. We want to blame the narcissist when we have experienced narcissistic abuse. This is normal. However, blaming others never results in our feeling empowered. If I supported my clients to stay focused on the perpetrator and continue to blame and project onto the perpetrator, I would be enabling my clients and not empowering them. Instead, I work with them to take responsibility for their own role in the dance and take their power back from the narcissistic person in their lives. Although it is important to empathize with the painful stories one goes through at the hands of their victimizers, if we can learn to look at these painful stories as a sign that we are ready to move beyond our stories and create a more empowering life, we can be liberated from being the eternal victim. The eternal victim will unconsciously be drawn into situations where he or she is victimized or feels victimized. It's the archetype. When I feel like a victim, I will be a magnet for victimizers because victims require victimizers, like a thirsty person requires water. In the psychology of Carl Jung, archetypes are the images, patterns, and symbols that rise out of the collective unconscious and appear in dreams, mythology, and fairy tales. In our collective unconscious, we have victims, rescuers, and perpetrators, and we often bounce between these different roles. If you have the victim archetype in your shadow, it's likely something you aren't really aware of yet. When you become aware of this archetype, it's no longer in the shadow. It's in the light of conscious and awareness, and it loses power. This is because through your awareness, you've brought what is hidden in the dark reaches of your psyche to light. Now you see it. Carolyn Meese talks about the victim archetype. She talks about a lot of different archetypes. But she says, quote, "Don't be misled by the name of this archetype. When properly recognized, the victim can alert you to the possibility that you are about to let yourself be victimized, whether through passivity or inappropriate actions. It can also help you recognize your own tendency to victimize others for personal gain. We need to develop this clarity of insight, however, and that means learning the nature and intensity of the victim within. In its shadow manifestation, the victim tells you that you are always taken advantage of and it's never your fault. We may like to play the victim at times because of the positive feedback we get in the form of sympathy or pity. Our goal is always to learn how to recognize these inappropriate attitudes in ourselves or others and to act accordingly. We are not meant to be victimized in life, but to learn how to handle challenges and outrun our fears. In establishing contact with your own inner victim, ask yourself, do I blame others for the circumstances of my life? Do I spend time in the pit of self-pity? Do I envy others who always seem to get what they want out of life? Do I feel victimized by others when situations don't work out the way I wanted them to? Do I tend to feel more powerless than powerful? End quote. As a victim, one may say, I want to stop getting into relationships with narcissists, addicts, or any other type of abuser, and not realize that they actually require it in order to feed their inner victim. The real desire is to stop identifying with one's own victim stories and find the road to empowerment. The other day when someone asked me about my work, I told them I specialize in working with victims of narcissistic abuse. And for some reason, the words lingered in a very uncomfortable way. I sat with it for a moment, and I said, really what I do is empower people to stop being victims. And that felt so much more accurate. In order to break free from being a victim or identifying with our role as a victim, we need to take 100% responsibility for where we find ourselves. This does not mean taking responsibility for the other person, the perpetrator, or for his or her behavior. We have to take responsibility for ourselves, which means learning about how we give our power away to others, how we deny our own needs in order to cater to the needs of others, and how we put our expectations on others to make us happy or to fulfill us. We need to take responsibility for our disappointment when we didn't get what we wanted or needed from the other. A common story I hear is, I stayed with the perpetrator because I needed to believe he would change and be the person I hoped he would be, or the person I believed he was in the beginning. Or I might hear, he kept making promises to me and I kept believing him. People will always show us who they are eventually. And if we choose not to believe what we see or experience, whose issue is it? Is it the perpetrator's issue for promising you the moon? Or is it your issue for believing the promises, even after you've identified a pattern of broken promises? Ultimately, it is our own responsibility. Responsibility is our ability to respond to a situation. If another person is victimizing you or blaming, projecting, name-calling, demeaning, devaluing, threatening, lying, cheating, stealing, confusing, gaslighting, instilling fear, manipulating, or any other abusive action, how are you going to respond? Your ability to respond is what sets you up to either be a victim or to be empowered. When you are a victim, you focus on what was said or done. When you are empowered, you recognize that what is being said or done doesn't feel good, and you remove yourself from the situation and get to safety. And this is self-care. When we find reasons why we need to remain in an abusive or unsafe environment, it is a form of self-abuse. We could also call this self-abandonment or self-neglect. Often, the victim archetype arises out of a belief that we are bad and unworthy, and this is our core shame. When we believe we are bad and unworthy, we require punishment. And so we unconsciously seek out relationships where we feel or will end up feeling punished. We have to be able to look deeply within and identify the part of us that feels we don't deserve love. We don't deserve to be treated well. We believe we deserve to be punished for our sins of being a bad person. And this is big. This is our core shame at work. The deeper truth is, we are all innocent. Even the most extreme forms of narcissism are born from a feeling of powerlessness in childhood. The narcissism develops as a coping mechanism for those feelings of powerlessness. One becomes a power monger and victimizes others to counteract those childhood feelings of powerlessness. Understanding this can eventually lead to having empathy for the little child inside the abuser, but please don't confuse empathy with sympathy and the need to caretake, fix, or heal another's wounds. You are never responsible for healing another's wounds. Your responsibility is for your own wounds. Often clients will tell me when they look at the abuser in their life, from the perspective of a wounded, disempowered little kid, they feel all this compassion and want to return to the relationship and make it all right. Often I hear, well, I wouldn't want to abandon a poor little child. You may have a belief that you can mother the wounded child in the perpetrator. And once he or she realizes how much he or she is loved and cared for, that person will appreciate everything you've done for him or her, and be eternally changed and grateful. Well, this sounds nice in theory, but it doesn't work this way. We don't want to move to forgiveness too early. We need to get angry first and feel our full array of feelings and learn how to reparent our own wounded child. We need to recognize where we felt wounded and disempowered as a little child and offer the compassion we would extend our abuser to ourselves, giving ourselves the love and the care that we need. Change is always an inside job. We can't fix, heal, or change others. It is the responsibility of each one of us to locate our own wounded child and learn to love and embrace that fragile, needy, abandoned, rejected, and unloved part of ourselves. We can never get those feelings of love and validation from the outside world in any way that will sustain us. We must find that self-love from within, and with self-love comes self-empowerment. When one has a victim archetype, he or she can feel victimized by many people and/or situations, circumstances, or events. One might feel victimized by an illness, by the weather, or a flat tire. One might feel a victim of a political or spiritual organization, or feel like a victim at work. Some people are so entrenched with their inner victim that everything that happens in life results in their feeling victimized. And I'm sure you know a person like that, or maybe you are a person like that. It's common that clients will come to me wanting to learn why they keep attracting the same type of person over and over again. Although there are several reasons we find ourselves in the same types of relationships, running a victim archetype is one reason you may continue to attract perpetrators. Victims require perpetrators. When we react to life and life circumstances from the perspective of a victim, we lose power to these people or circumstances and are not taking responsibility for our own reactions to them. Once again, responsibility is our ability to respond. We need to learn to respond rather than to react. If you are experiencing abuse or injustice in your relationship, you need to develop the skills to step back from the situation and evaluate it to decide how you are going to respond to the abuse. Are you going to confront the abuser? Are you going to leave the relationship? Are you going to give your power away to that person? I sure hope not. When you begin to take empowering action in your life to situations where you feel victimized, you begin to feel empowered. You can't feel empowered and victimized at the same time. It's not that we are never victimized. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where someone yells at us, puts us down, or is verbally abusive in some way. Sometimes we may find ourselves in a situation where someone slams their car into you. Or even worse, some people find themselves in situations where they are mugged or raped. In a case like this, you have the right to feel victimized, but you'll still want to find a way to take back your power from that person or situation as soon as you are able. You will still feel the pain, the violation, the sadness, the feelings of injustice, but you will take some kind of action to help you feel stronger, like taking a self-defense class, pressing charges on the violator, or suing for coverage of your hospital bills and other damages. If you recently got into a relationship with someone who is beginning to show signs of being abusive, it is best to cut your losses and get out right away, rather than try to fix, change, or heal the person. This is not your job, and it can't be done. In any situation where you feel violated, abused, or disempowered, you have to ask yourself, how can I take back my power in this situation? You may need some help figuring this out, but at least you're asking the right question. When you find yourself getting in one relationship after the next with abusers, addicts, or narcissists, the question you may want to ask yourself is, what is it about me that is causing me to keep attracting people into my life where I experience feeling like a victim? I've worked with clients who have told me that they realize after a while that the man that they're dating or the woman that they're dating has a drinking problem. Some will even say, I've talked to him about his drinking and he promises he will stop, but he hasn't stopped drinking. So who has the problem here? It's not our job to get an addict to stop being addicted. It's our job to stop being addicted to the addict. Where the victim stays with the addict and continues to try and control his or her addiction or tries to get that person to be accountable for his or her addiction, an empowered person will simply leave and let live. Empowered people learn to have healthy boundaries. But when we begin learning about boundaries, we may have no idea what they really are. A boundary might be as simple as telling someone, if you're going to continue to drink alcohol when you clearly have an issue with it, I'm not going to be in a relationship with you. Or it might be saying, I'm really not comfortable with your drinking, therefore I'm not going to stay in the relationship. With narcissistic behavior, the same thing is true. I don't like the way you're treating me, therefore I'm not going to stay here. So you're really owning it. You're really taking responsibility. Instead of saying, please treat me better, you're saying, I don't like how this is happening. I don't like how you're treating me. I'm leaving. If that person begs you to stay or makes promises, If you agree to stay, whose problem is it? We often feel victimized when we try and leave a toxic or abusive situation and that person begs us to stay or makes promises. If we believe the promises and agree to stay, we will most likely suffer more and more of the toxic behavior. If you make this decision, whose problem is it? Some will tell me, but he promised. We can't listen to someone's words. We have to pay attention to the actions. Behavior says it all. Wounded children, whether narcissistic or addicted or both, will say whatever they need to say to prevent feeling abandoned in the moment. Narcissists will often beg you to stay when you have one foot out the door, and then, on the sly, seek out a replacement for you, and when they have a new person secured, dump you. And this is what they do to avoid their own fear of abandonment or rejection. If they can pull you back in and then reject you, they feel more powerful. Meanwhile, you may experience feeling completely powerless because you believed their story about how they are going to change, only to be double-crossed. But once again, you feel punished. And victims require punishment. It's important to understand that people don't change overnight, and many people never change. Have you heard the saying, a leopard doesn't change its spots? We often live in this fantasy that if someone becomes aware of his or her bad behavior, they have the power to just stop it. Changing our dysfunctional and unhealthy behavior takes a lot of time and effort. Someone who promises change is selling you a bill of goods. If you believe the bill, whose responsibility is it? It's also our own responsibility to know who we are getting into a relationship with. How many of you fall head over heels for someone you don't even know? This is so typical. We're attracted by this thing called chemistry, which overrides our ability to make a sound decision. So, whose responsibility is this? We all need to understand that we don't know someone when we just meet them, even if we feel like we've known them for lifetimes. This is the fairy tale. It takes time to get to know someone, and I mean months and years, not days and weeks. If we are truly taking care of ourselves, we would get to know someone for at least 2 or 3 months before ever getting intimate. How many of you rush into sex on the second or third date, or even the first date? When you introduce sex to a new relationship, you're really blinding yourself to the reality of that situation. There's no such thing as casual sex, as sex affects us on very deep levels. We're commingling our energies with someone, and we don't even know who that person is. We are exchanging body fluids, which means DNA. We are exposing ourselves to the risk of disease. We risk pregnancy for those of childbearing age. But most of all, we risk emotional damage. Why would we put the most vulnerable part of ourselves in the hands of someone we don't know or someone we have not yet established a foundation of trust with? Some people get sexually involved right away only to discover the person that they're sleeping with is married with kids. If you're going to take this risk, also take responsibility for it. If you sleep with a person you've just met and then discover that person is not available emotionally or physically, whose responsibility is this? Are you the victim? Or were you betraying yourself by thinking you needed to trade sex for love or make some other kind of trade-off? When we are in integrity with ourselves, when we are being self-loving, we don't do trade-offs. We don't give ourselves away for the promise of something outside of ourselves. If you make it clear to someone you are dating that you are not going to get intimate with them until you have first established a solid friendship and have taken the time to get to know each other, and that person drops off the face of the earth, you just dodged a bullet. I had a situation like this where there was a man who was very interested and eager to get to know me, and he was being very attentive, romantic, and focused on a potential relationship with me. And I let him know that I was interested in getting to know him as a friend first. And this was a man who said he was a licensed therapist and had a good deal of personal and spiritual growth under his belt. I thought he would understand the concept. He told me he had never had a relationship that began with friends first. He explained there's always a connection and chemistry, and they get romantically involved right away. And I explained to him the reality that we never really know someone the first several months of dating, and it's typical that we need to date someone for a good 4 months before we have a clue who they are. I also explained that with my work with narcissistic abuse, narcissistic people typically don't show their true colors for the first 4 months of a relationship. Therefore, I advise my clients to take their time getting to know someone before getting intimate, and that I follow my same rules. I practice what I preach. Well, I never heard from the guy again after telling him that. I was actually really happy I said what I said. Of course, I scared him away, because I do not want to waste my time or energy with someone who can't understand the concept of building a foundation as friends before going the next level. The more we develop a solid and loving relationship with ourselves, the less needy and desperate we are. If we're looking for someone outside of ourselves to distract us from our own neediness, pain, or desperation, we're asking for a desperate, needy person to enter our lives. That neediness and desperation attracts neediness and desperation. We attract from the energy of neediness, loneliness, and desperation. And it's much better to walk through these feelings of neediness, loneliness, and desperation and heal it in yourself while you are still single. If you want a healthy relationship, you need to be healthy. You need to be okay being alone or just developing good friendships and a solid support network. If you're not okay being alone, guess what? You're going to attract someone into your life who is also not okay being alone. And what do you think that will look like? Well, it's going to look like two people trying to get each other to meet their neediness, who end up feeling angry and disappointed at each other when they fail to fill up that gaping empty hole for each other. Both end up feeling like victims because they were pursuing a promise that didn't turn out the way they needed it to. Why do you think narcissists and codependents hook up so often? They are both dependent on the other person to feel good about themselves. The codependent doesn't feel okay if she's not rescuing, fixing, bailing out, supporting, or taking care of another. And the narcissist doesn't feel okay without someone to constantly affirm his greatness. Both serve as a distraction from one's own pain. The core wound is the same. The coping mechanism is different. We need to learn about and understand our own victim archetype and why we continue to play the same role over and over again or continue to attract victimizers. Who would you be if you were not a victim? The short answer is empowered. How are you going to get from here to there? By making empowering choices. Choice is your ally. You can always make another choice. Choice imprisons you, and choice sets you free. If you feel you don't have a choice, then you've slid further down the victim hole than you care to admit to yourself. And I see this a lot. I hear, I can't leave because... dot, dot, dot. We can always leave. In my early 20s, I was in a physically abusive relationship, and in the middle of the night, I just grabbed my purse and my car keys, and I walked out the door. I left everything behind. My life was worth more than anything that I left behind. It was the easiest choice, and I didn't have to think too hard to make that choice. My spirit compelled me to take action. And some of you listening may say, yes, but you didn't have children, or you weren't completely broke, or whatever. It doesn't matter. Where there's a will and a desire, the way is provided. Your job is to find the will and the desire, and then follow the promptings of spirit or follow your intuition. If you're actually in prison, you're probably not listening to the show. Or if you're held captive and you're also probably not listening, this is a different story. But most people I talk to are not in this situation. Some fear for their lives. If I leave, he will find me and kill me. And this is a very real concern, and I don't take this concern lightly. If you're in this situation, you need to get help. Contact an abuse shelter and let your local police know about the situation if you can. And like I said, where there is a will, there is a way, but you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone. Terminal victims will always find a reason why they can't. And I can't work with people who are terminal because it doesn't matter what I say. They have a reason why they can't. Their victimhood is steeped in reasons and excuses, blame and powerlessness, and they simply can't see their way out. They may have more to gain by remaining a victim. And until they are ready to see it differently, I can't help them. We can only help those who are willing to help themselves. Even as a therapist, coach, or counselor, I can't take responsibility for the healing of others. It's not my role to heal others. It's my role to help others find their own power so they can heal themselves. I can't fix, rescue, bail out, or take care of anyone. If I did, I'd be a codependent counselor. And codependent counselors don't help anyone. They enable people to stay where they are instead of helping them to find their own internal power to make new choices and thereby experience a new reality. If you feel you embody the victim archetype, it's great that you recognize it, because recognizing it is the first step in shedding it. And let's get really honest. Most people who have found themselves a victim of narcissistic abuse or other abuse more than one time probably have an inner victim in their shadow. And it's not who you are, but the role that you've learned to play to get your needs met or to survive in a toxic environment. So it's not your fault. You're not a bad person. And there's nothing wrong with you. It's just a role that you learned to play that no longer works for you. When you can say, wow, I've been playing the role of a victim and I didn't even realize it, you're growing in awareness. And this growth will take you to the next level. When we can understand a role we've been playing from an unconscious place, we can learn how it served us to play that role and then learn how to play a new role, a more empowered role. We go from victim to hero, slaying our inner dragons and finding our power to step out into our true authentic self, live on purpose, and find our way back home again. Like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. When Dorothy returned home, she was not the same as when she left. She left feeling a victim of the winds of change in her life, the tornado. She confronted her different archetypes, the part of her that didn't feel courageous enough, the part that didn't feel smart enough, and the part that didn't feel compassionate enough. she was able to find her courage, her brains, and her compassion. And when she did, she was able to identify where she was giving her power away. She was able to recognize the one she had been searching for outside of herself, the great Oz, who had all the answers for her life, was just a sham, a fraud, who didn't have the power to help her find her way home to her true authentic self. She discovered that she had the power all along. She only needed to look within. The ruby slippers represented her personal power. If she clicked her heels together 3 times, she could access her power and find her way back home again. Home was that place within where her true self lies. Those who listen to my podcast are on their own hero's journey or heroine's journey. We're all confronting our inner demons, our shadow, our fears, our lack of courage, and inner strength. We are all on the yellow brick road to finding our true authentic self, which is the part of us that is real, that has feelings, fears, and wounds that need our love, care, and attention. When we can open our hearts and make room for the inner child who is afraid, feeling helpless, and needing our love and support, we can embrace the one who feels powerless and give her the love and encouragement she needs to realize her true power, the power within. Thank you for listening. And to find out more about my work, you can go to narcissismfree.com and pathbacktoself.com. And it's here you're going to find a lot of information, articles, books, audio downloads, and counseling services, counseling, coaching, and hypnotherapy. So please visit narcissismfree.com and pathbacktoself.com. Thank you for listening. Have a great day and see you next time.